Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. All right, guys. So I did want to just check in. So this caught my eye that Equalizer 2, the Denzel Washington vehicle, his first sequel in his career, ended up at number one over the weekend. It made $34 million just in America alone. And this jogged my memory back to the Sony hack, which I know we don't like to give North Korea that they revealed some problematic things about our country, but they did.
I don't like to think about the Sony hack and remember that was simpler times.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. Isn't
remember
that crazy?
Sony hack? And you're like, dude, James Franco needs to watch out. They do not like him.
But there was this email thread where this producer was, you know, waxing philosophical about whether or not they should greenlight this movie.
The sequel or the first one?
The sequel.
Got you.
Equalizer 2. And his whole thing was, look, babe, Denzel is my favorite actor of his generation, period, point blank. He's the best.
But
the hammer.
But we can't greenlight it unless you just want to hit singles. I'm looking to hit home runs. And the fact is that African Americans do not do well overseas. And he was like, basically, other countries are racist, and therefore I'm saying that we shouldn't make a movie with a black man in the lead.
So even though our country's so progressive,
right?
Yeah. And we have it figured out.
Yeah.
These people in Greece.
Right. Here's the flow chart. We've solved racism. Okay, right. Next step. What about these other countries? No.
Also, I'm pretty sure Bad Boys did really well overseas.
Yeah.
And Bad Boys 2.
And it's Denzel.
Well, Will Smith is like widely seen as the last American movie star who can open a movie just regardless of what movie it is overseas. People are just like, yo, Will Smith is the last movie star.
Right.
But this dude wanted to sound... I feel like there's this kind of bias where it's like, oh, well, it's a harsh truth, but that must mean it's true.
Right,
or that
right,
must
right.
mean that it's a smart thing to say.
Yeah, okay. Ben Shapiro type shit.
But I mean, it is interesting to see how defined this sort of shit was. Like, because, you know, you look at the movies that were made for the vast majority of movie history, and including up till now, and, you know, how many just white male leads there are, like just a shocking number. And it's like, you don't think that they're like, look, we got to make it a white male lead. We got to make movies with white men in the lead role, like specifically, like actually voicing that
right.
in emails.
White
but
man in lead
apparently,
role.
Yeah, apparently they were. And, you know, it's a self-fulfilling thing because they match the production budget, however much it costs to make, with a marketing budget. And if you think that, you know, based on your brilliant analysis of the marketplace overseas, that it's not going to make its money back, you probably hold back a little bit on the marketing budget. So therefore, that probably hurts things.
Right.
What is the movie about?
The Equalizer? Denzel Washington is a superhero, basically.
Yeah.
He's
for real?
He's the best at killing.
Yeah. In like seconds.
Yes.
And he can guess how many seconds it would take him to kill a room full of people. And he knows exactly, based on his surroundings, how many ways he could kill you.
So he's like Rain Man, but with
sort
murder?
Sort of, yes. Yeah. Do you remember the TV show?
No.
That was an old white dude.
Yeah.
And it was called The Equalizer, and he would just go around like righting wrongs on like the down low for people.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And now that's essentially what Denzel is doing. But I think the first one, he kind of gets pulled into it a little bit. And it seems in the second one, he's back into it.
He's like, this is me. Yeah.
He's just trying to lead a quiet life as like a cab driver in Boston.
Yeah, like then, under siege.
Then he sees some shit.
Yeah. There's this young woman who, like, he reads literature in a cafe at night. And she, like, comes in and she's had, like, a fucked up life. And he tries to take care of her. And then, like, she gets fucked up by the Russian mob. And
I was literally going to say, what,
down,
the Russian mob
yep,
shows up?
Takes yep. down the entire Russian mafia by himself.
In 58
and it
seconds.
It is so much fun. But yeah, wow. It's basically like
all right.
If the Taken franchise had stayed about as good as the first Taken and had a, like, I think Liam Neeson's a good actor, but yeah. Had like the best actor playing the lead role.
It's like Mercury Rising meets Taken meets John Wick.
Right.
Okay.
It's got some John Wick in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meets Under Siege.
Meets Under Siege. Great. And that's how you, that's what you call an elevator pitch.
My favorite thing in all those movies is that one scene where somebody tells someone else who they're dealing with.
Right.
Oh, you don't know who this guy is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, let me tell
you. So-and-so has blah, 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 blah.
Because there's a big scene like that in Under Siege, right. Which is the first one I remember. Like, he's not just a cook. This yeah. guy, Black Ops, Special Force. Right. Like, they give you, someone get finally gives the someone else resume, a rundown yeah. of who they're dealing with here.
Yeah.
It's always my favorite.
Just a chef, man. Just a chef.
What was the thing in that Mark Wahlberg preview where he was like, you need to be careful, man. He's like, you need to be careful, bro. He's like, you should be careful, bro.
Oh, you're talking to Mark Wahlberg himself, man.
Yeah, do it all day, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Have you seen the preview for his newest movie?
Mile 22?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, you know what movie you're thinking of? Contraband, I think. And he's in the trailer. He's like, oh, what? You think you're the only person who brought a gun?
No, it was so Mile 22.
Oh, it was Mile 22?
Yeah, because we just watched it a couple weeks ago, and it was something he's like, you should be careful. Or like to the bad guy, like, you should be careful, bro.
Bro, you should be careful, dude.
So Sacha Baron Cohen, the second episode of What is America?
Who is America? Yeah.
Aired last night. I just read recaps of it because I do not have Showtime, but... Miles, you watched parts of it?
Yeah, I use the internet to not pay for Showtime and find ways to watch it. But yes, so last week everybody was getting real hot and bothered by the whole kindergarten segment where like GOP congressmen were like, yeah, arm kids. And basically like this one dude had, you know, we went over that. So this week, the man in the hot seat is Jason Spencer, who is a Georgia state representative. So he works in the state legislature. And he...
Sam Michaels, right?
Yeah, Sam Michaels. Jason Spencer. So he... I mean, just to give you some background, he's had a few... you know, he's a little bit of a controversial guy, whether it comes
he's
to
a,
standing
he's
up
He's a Georgia assemblyman,
yeah,
mean.
Like, yeah, like caping for Confederate statues or having, like,
hijab
or burqa bill. So here, at the beginning of the segment on This Is Who Is America, they sort of did a quick greatest hits of sort of Jason Spencer's history in the assembly.
My name is Jason Spencer. I'm a state representative in the Georgia General Assembly. That's the House of Representatives.
Jason Spencer, a Republican, threatened his former Democratic colleague after she criticized his support of Confederate monuments on Facebook.
Representative Jason Spencer says his bill is definitely in response to mass terrorists.
House Bill 3 would make it illegal for people to conceal their faces in public.
Okay, so... He likes, you know, we get where he falls
on fascism.
The political spectrum.
Yes. Didn't he also say that one of his opponents would potentially go missing or like has to watch her back?
That's
or
when
something?
He said, yeah, he intimidated someone for criticizing a Confederate monument bill or something.
Yeah, there's like
right.
another elected official, a black woman who was like, maybe Confederate monuments aren't a good idea. And he was like, careful, bitch, you might go missing.
Yeah,
which
that's
is,
not a hypothetical in the South. Like, that's a thing with.
It's
a lot
actually
of
not a hypothetical
history.
Anywhere.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
So suffice to say, he's a racist Islamophobe. We kind of get it. So Sacha
a
Baron
lot of those
Cohen,
don't cover your face bills are also about anti-fascist action because
right.
people cover their faces
right.
to just not get recorded. So like, there's a lot of bills like that, not just in Georgia but all over the place. So
oh,
it's
yeah.
sort of a it's a like a you know it's a two for one. You know you get to hit the burqa thing
Antifa,
and you get to hit
everyone,
the Antifa
man.
Thing. Yeah.
So in this one, Sacha Baron Cohen dusted off his like ex-Mossad Israeli Special Forces character with the exaggerated face.
Who is
that somehow,
this season.
That somehow so people good. Still look at this and go, that's a human
yeah,
from
that's
Earth.
That's not a Dick Tracy villain. That is a human being with a normal face.
So they
that
did...
guy's face moves normally.
Yeah. Right. So they started to do some exercises where he was running him through like what to do if, you know, how to deter a would-be kidnapper.
Totally.
And so one of the first ones was like, take your clothes off or like, you know, literally shove your ass in someone's face because maybe homophobia is actually a good way to keep yourself safe. So this is just like a quick soundbite of one of the drills they did when he was like, okay, so imagine a guy's got a gun. He's like, you're coming with me. What do you do? And then listen to this thing. And picture this man, this state assemblyman, with his bare ass out, and he is charging Sacha Baron Cohen, who has a pistol in his hand.
Show me your weapon. Go.
I'll touch you. I'll make you a homosexual. You drop that gun right now. USA.
Okay.
USA.
I What? Can I just hear that one more time?
That's my new ringtone.
Show me your weapon. Go.
I'll touch you. I'll make you a homosexual. You drop that gun right now. USA. Okay. USA.
Uh-huh. I'll touch you. I'll make you a homosexual. Drop that gun. USA.
I'm making a t-shirt right now with
and
that on it.
I cannot believe this man put his bare cheeks out there like that. And
yeah, he's running backwards at
running
him.
USA, buddy, USA.
With his ass forward. Yeah, ass forward.
And you know, showing their ass really saved a lot of those guys at Abu Ghraib. You know? Those guys at Abu Ghraib, they were like, wait a second, hold on. What if I show you my ass?
Right.
And then you know.
That was the secret the whole
time. They were like, whoa, cannot touch you, don't want to be gay.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll see. So this guy... They went on and they kind of upped the stakes a little bit more. So they're still doing this is how you protect yourself, because the whole time Sacha Baron Cohen's like, you know, you could be, you know, kidnapped by ISIS.
Yeah.
So the way you talk.
And Jason Spencer is like,
and he's like,
yes.
Yes, I believe that. Yes. So this next one, he's like, okay, so we're going to do one more, because aside from taking your clothes off, a lot of it is about attracting attention to yourself by like screaming or cursing.
So people notice that you're being kidnapped.
Exactly. To bring attention to yourself. So this is the real
great
cool
clip.
Point. Yeah. So this is him saying, okay, now let's do the screaming part.
In America, there is one forbidden word. It is the N-word. Uh-oh. Now, I am going to be the terrorist. You have 3 seconds to attract attention. Go!
Nigger! 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 What? Nigger!
Are you crazy? The N-word is noony, not this word. This word is disgusting.
Fucking love Sacha Baron Cohen, man. He's really good at his job.
Yeah, he really... And so this... Suffice to say, this has gotten our man Jason Spencer in some hot water. I mean, I think he's already been primaried out, so he's not going to be in office.
He's not really going
anywhere. But, you know, it's weird because this morning on, like, news shows, they're like, is Sacha Baron Cohen going too far?
Right.
Like, is this ethical or whatever? Like, he's getting racist to be racist.
On camera?
On camera.
This has never happened, especially not in Borat, the movie we all fucking know him from.
Right.
This is why I think it's actually journalism what he's doing, because like a lot of
that's going a little far.
A lot of the shit that you get people saying, like there's a segment where he has a town where they think that he's building a mosque there, and they just get outraged and start saying all this like crazy racist shit. Like, this is not stuff that he's making them say. This is just stuff that they would not normally say in front of a camera if it was the news, but he manages to put them in situations where they say the things that, you know, we only suspect they say.
But do you think it's journalism in that, like, I feel like it's political satire that is just very eye-open? The journalism part, I guess.
I would not call it journalism.
Because he's duping them into behaving. Like,
right.
Like,
the
whole
point of journalism is, like, being open.
It's a,
you know, letting people. You cannot secretly record a conversation as a journalist and use it as a source. You know what I mean? There's off the right. Like, there's there's supposed to be ethics in journalism.
Right.
So if this is journalism, it's probably better journalism than a lot of what we see.
Right.
But it doesn't, you know, like, does it reveal stuff about our country? Yes. Is it journalism? No, man. It's fucking art.
Right.
This is art.
Yeah, that's
what
fair.
The word you're looking for is art.
Yeah.
It's a glimpse of a part of reality that we don't normally see.
Because,
well, there's also, like, there's a lot of people that say this shit on camera all the time.
Right.
They're
right.
just on different parts of the internet than the ones I go to.
Yeah, because you don't want to see that.
Yeah, and they're not even not in L.A., man. They're in fucking Orange. Like, I saw a video from this guy who just, like, works in Orange County. Just straight up a video clip of a lady being like, get out of my country. And he was like, I'm just fixing your neighbor's fence. And she was like, she was like, I hate you. And he was like, why do you hate me? And she was like, because you're Mexican.
Yeah.
Like verbatim, I hate you because you're Mexican. And he was like, there was somebody filming, I think either somebody he was working with or his mom or something.
Yeah.
He was like, someone's filming you. And she was like, I hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely, you know, what he does, I think, is he creates a safe space for racists
absolutely.
To just be like, oh, okay, I'm going to talk my shit now.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that mosque
either, like,
one was...
pushes them to an outrage point where they think, all right, fuck it, I'm going to say what I think, because this is the thing that they're scared of. They're scared a mosque will be built in their town and that they'll be taken over by Muslims, and then suddenly fucking
Fort Wayne,
Indiana's under Sharia law, you know?
Right. Yeah. And
that's what they're afraid of, and they're like,
all right.
Listen
to them, though, too, where they just don't... At the end where he's like, well, we have black people and like they're lucky they're here. We tolerate them. And you're like, ooh.
Who said that? Was that Jason Spencer?
That's going like further on in the clip of like the mosque town hall thing. And you realize, damn, like it's like he really just like just pulled the curtain back on.
Right.
People.
And that was like a thing that I hadn't heard.
That was a thin curtain.
Right. That was a thing I hadn't heard racists say before. So from that perspective, it was like, yeah, that's a...
That we barely tolerate black people?
Right. Well, just that like they feel like they're doing everyone a favor by tolerating people of other races. It was just like a weird... sort of a warped version.
Yeah, just
of
sort of a new spin on racism.
A new spin on racism.
It's like, I'm doing the good thing, not getting violent and like trying to terrorize these people out of my town.
Yeah, this is what like a lot of quiet racists are like, I'm a fucking saint, man. Right. You put me on a damn stamp.
That's
because
right.
I have not lynched anyone this year.
And last night's episode was also featured the Dick Cheney interview where he got Dick Cheney to autograph a waterboarding kit.
That rules.
Dick Cheney, there was also a part where he basically said that he used the waterboarding technique to interrogate his wife because he thought she was being unfaithful to him, and Dick Cheney laughed at that. So, like, Dick Cheney is the monster we all thought he was.
Yeah, he's fucking Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, remember this guy who sucked? Still really bad.
Yeah, exactly.
What is something that's underrated besides Nancy Kerrigan? Obviously.
There, I mean, she is a goddess who walks among us. Underrated is always under. Can't rate them enough. Is the freaking Zeit Gang.
Woo! Whoa, why?
Every single Zeit show gang. I did last week, I did like 10 or 11 shows. The Zeit Gang was out for every damn show in every damn city.
See?
At least a couple people. And for some reason, Philly is popping off.
With Zeit Gang?
With Zeit Gang.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Call the mayor.
It was great. I mean, it was so great to like get to meet everybody and talk to someone. Was like, Jack O'Brien's my freaking hero.
That's
I was
weird.
Like, me too.
Like, cool.
But here's the thing. I met him. Don't meet your heroes.
Big
All Lives Matter guy.
Don't let him on stage.
Hey,
he'll say some problematic stuff.
Hey, man, Blue Lives Matter too, man. That's pretty cool.
Preserve the Jack O'Brien that you love in your head and never meet him.
The spit take guy.
No, but it was so great to meet everybody and talk to everybody. It was the best.
That's awesome.
See,
way to go, guys.
Zeit Gang, you know, we're internationally known and locally respected.
It's very true.
Because it's a show of love, you know.
But really, they should be thanking us for introducing them to Jamie Loftus. I mean,
they should be
on.
Thanking me for working at Playboy and not remembering that Jamie and I worked together there for a second.
I reposted that picture the other day of Cooper Hefner coming to my going away party on a Segway. Did you see
that?
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm
going
to look at this.
Wait, Cooper Hefner is, for background,
so
Jamie
I used to
Miles.
Work at Playboy doing their video content, and Jamie worked there too. And at the time, I was on my way out, and I think Jamie had started. I think we overlapped for maybe four months, something like that.
But our departments were never into because I worked at the magazine.
Yeah, you worked on that side of the office, and then I was with the digital freaks that the magazine was like, dude, these guys are fucking losers, basically.
Right. I was analog back then. It was a simpler time.
Yeah. We didn't know we were about to be enemies. But anyway, so Cooper Hefner is now running the company into the ground because he's like, I think,
he's
27.
Like, bring my titties, please.
Yeah. And he's like, Playboy's got to be like a sick lifestyle brand. He's like, that's where we're going to have like parties at Coachella. And it's like, that's not the problem, dude.
So this is there. So my last day, I did get laid off from Playboy on my birthday, and it was very chill. But I really liked my coworkers that I worked with at the magazine, and they were very nice. And like, it wasn't their call, and they're like, "Well, we'll throw you a goodbye party / happy birthday party." So I got like the saddest cake of all time. We were like downstairs in the bar area with this really sad cake, and Lil Coop, because he's Lil. Lil Coop comes up on his hoverboard and he like rolls up. We've never met before. He's like, hey, why is everyone looking so bummed out? And my boss was like, we just had to lay off our employee on her birthday. He's like, oh, bummer. And took a slice of ice cream cake and just disappeared from my life forever. But there's the picture of Lil Coop on this little.
Oh my God.
He just rolled the
that
fuck
office
up.
That gives me nightmares.
It was, it was a troubling office. Why was there an open bar 24 hours a day? That was disturbing.
I don't know.
Some really dark, darkest timeline stuff going on.
I just like the idea too that he would pull up to be like, oh, that's a bummer. Take a slice of cake and then do like a 360 in it. Like a cool move on the way. It's like, bummer. Hi.
And it was just like one of those things where it's like, man, we're not going to address that today. There's too much going on.
That's amazing.
So
that guy is my
Cooper
new hero.
Cooper Hefner, pretty underrated.
I guess, cool is guy. The moral of this story. And he's a tiny man. that probably doesn't want anybody to know that, correct?
He's right. I mean, and I love La Petite Male, but mm-hmm. Coop, yeah, no, he's a very insecure La Petite Male.
Right. Who rides around on a hoverboard because it probably adds like 5 to 6 inches.
When you say small man, we're not talking about his height.
Right.
Speaking of inventors who don't feel guilty enough for their inventions, Facebook's stock is taking a big dive right now. They have lost, I think, $120 billion in valuation.
Technically, I think $123
billion. $123
billion. Overnight.
To put that in perspective, Twitter's market cap is $33 billion, so Facebook just lost 4 Twitters, and that was all overnight.
Yeah. And Snapchat is, I think, only 17. Right. So, yeah, I think when you really – that's how you realize how fucking big Facebook is, because that was only – what, I think a 20% there. I think they started at 629 yesterday, and they opened at 506.
Yeah.
So
anybody check in on Mark? Mark, you okay, man?
Mark Z?
Check on old Narc Zuckerberg and see how he's doing.
Hey, Mark, you guys okay? How's
they try and spin it, though, because it was about their earnings report, and they're like, well, we're doing it because we're spending a lot on security and, like, algorithms and machine learning to make sure we keep stories in about fucking Alex Jones telling people to shoot Robert Mueller or, you know, Holocaust deniers and things like that. I don't know. But they're saying it's a lot of spending that they're doing to get your safety.
Right.
Back.
They missed their numbers was essentially the big thing, is that they didn't grow as fast as they had projected they were going to grow. And that combined with all of the trouble they've been having PR-wise combined, I think people were just looking for an excuse to kind of jump off the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, Miles, they're treating it as a technical issue. Like, okay, well, technically, like, we had this issue and now we're addressing it. But I think we're seeing in recent days that this is a fundamental philosophical question that I don't know is answerable, where they're basically saying, you know, they're not willing to take complete responsibility for what people learn on Facebook and the information that gets disseminated. And that information is like leading to mobs murdering innocent grandmothers in India.
Right.
It's leading to Alex Jones saying that he thinks Robert Mueller is a pedophile.
Yeah.
And
ethnic cleansing.
Yeah. Ethnic cleansing is happening. And so there was this meeting with where somebody was trying to explain the guy who's, I think, in charge of the algorithm, or actually he's in charge of their new video player. And he was saying, what we're trying to do is make it so that if you are saying something that is untrue, you're allowed to say it as long as you're an authentic person. We try to make it so that it doesn't get much distribution. So those are kind of different things. So basically he's saying you can say whatever you want and we won't distribute it, but that requires, like, I don't know, there's not a clear philosophical outlook there.
Right. It's, well, I guess it's just sort of like, we respect your right to say whatever, but it's not a right that people have to hear it.
Right.
All over the place.
But that seems like a very difficult thing to accomplish because it's a lot of judgment involved, and they can't make a judgment call on every single one of these.
I mean, they can't even make a judgment call on Holocaust deniers.
Right.
Like,
yeah, Mark Zuckerberg recently said that it's okay to be a Holocaust denier. He's trying to use this, like, national standard for free speech.
Right.
And that doesn't really cut it for a media outlet that has, like, direct and untraceable access into like 20% of the global population's brain, and probably like a much larger chunk of the global population that is up on 2 feet affecting change, since it's mostly like, you know, youngish people in other countries, and then in our country, at least able-bodied people.
Do you use Facebook ever?
Not anymore. Not as much. I won't say not anymore, but like to post a show, be like, hey.
Right.
But I'm not like, oh, what's going on?
Because I remember I started off being like really hyped on it and being like, oh, shit, here's that homie from elementary school that moved away years ago. Or people mistaking me for someone they thought was a long lost classmate. And then I would post my vacation photos.
Yeah, you post on somebody's timeline. Hey, what's up? Not anymore.
Yeah, now I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's the luster. I don't know. Like, it's less attractive to me. Or like, I'm
like, it's a garbage dump.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't get the thrill of using Facebook as I used to. And then once you look at all this
shit
Mark's that's
been going
on.
Dude, Mark's listening, man. Be gentle.
That's fine. Hey,
you gotta be gentle. Mark, how's your spine?
Go cry on your pile of billions of dollars, fam, because we're coming for that shit too. But like, I don't know. Just it seems not as useful, or I just don't like it as much. Or maybe I'm taking my privacy more seriously, or I'm just I don't want to use it. I think
that's a nice exactly. Like, oh, my privacy. Oh, fuck. Like, you know everything about me.
I'm
now.
Like, oh, you've been selling my shit? Yeah. That's why I'm getting these ads?
And also now if you want to promote like a show or like something, like now you have to pay or like trick the algorithm. Right. And it's just like, oh, man, this sucks.
And I mean, we need to, and I think people are getting better at thinking about their attention as a finite resource. You know, you only have so much attention to go around and you can't let it be squandered on bullshit, especially like untrue bullshit, because it's both harmful to you personally and to society in general. But yeah, I don't know necessarily how they walk this line, because so they did, kind of shrink InfoWars or shrink Fox News's distribution, and I think shrink InfoWars' and maybe even banned InfoWars' account. And now the right is up in arms about that. And, you know, they've been receptive to pressure from the right, claiming that they're censoring free speech. And so it's just like it's going to be this back and forth. There's no clear answer to how they're going to address this.
At some point,
I think,
just put your fucking foot down.
Right.
As Facebook, and be like, fuck you. These are lies.
Yeah. Right.
I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want. I'm not letting this thing turn into a tool for fucking evil or just completely deceiving people who are vulnerable to this kind of misinformation.
Yeah. But I guess if you have enough money.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, because he's probably like, all right, well, good. How's the condo looking on Mars?
Right.
It's actually going to be done because it's going to get hot.
Liquid water.
It's going to be hot in like 15 years and I'm going to have to go.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. So Mila Kunis was on the Dax Shepard show, I think it's called.
Armchair expert, I think.
We don't need to say that.
Or as I call it.
Right. Talking about her past relationships. And Miles, can you give us a direct quote
of what
she said about her relationship with Mac?
So she dated Macaulay Culkin for like 8 years.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And then
as like they're talking about relationships, like they get on the subject of her and Mac Daddy. And this is the full quote from this thing. I fucked up. I was an asshole in my 20s, and I'll be the first to admit it. And that's something that took me a long time to come out and be like, yeah, you know what? I was a dick and accept
normal
it,
so far.
And I own it. And it's fucked up what I did. It's fucked up what I did. And it's fucked up how I did it. let me finish. When I got to be single, I said, I just need to figure myself out. Genuinely need to know why I did what I did.
What the fuck?
And like regroup myself as a human being.
What did you do to him?
Holy shit.
I don't know. When you say, and it's fucked up what I did, it's fucked up what I did.
Right.
And it's fucked up how I did it. Like that whole like stream of consciousness.
It's fucked up how I did it is so crazy because it's like it suggests a violent act.
Yeah,
maybe?
or the most grotesque
cunning.
Deception.
Yes.
Some theories were Macaulay Culkin's grandma's ashes were put into his coffee for 8 years.
8 years could have been one.
So he consumed in entirety his grandma.
His entire grandma
in his morning cup because Mila Kunis, she doesn't know why she did what she did.
Right.
And
I'm
how
sorry.
She did it was fucked up.
Right.
Yeah. If she was like me in my 20s, she probably told Macaulay, like, hey, let's go meet my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was a lie, and then just went to Chipotle and broke up with him.
Oh. Miles, that's horrible.
That didn't happen. I was broken up with at Chipotle, though.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
But she didn't get you there by saying, let's go meet my
family. Actually, she did.
Amazing.
Hey, you should meet my
folks. Meet my family at this
at Chipotle. Hey, where are they at? Where's your food? I'm not eating. But we need to talk. What? And then I cried listening to the song Bodies by Smashing Pumpkins on the double disc album, The Melancholy and Infinite Sadness.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying, like, let the bodies hit the floor.
The first line is Billy Corgan going, love is suicide.
Subtle.
When I was dating someone, this was like a couple of years ago, there was a restaurant that we would always break up at. We broke up a million times.
Aww.
And it was always like this one restaurant. If he was like, we should go to Modern Eats. I'm like, I'm about to get dumped. Don't show up, Jamie. Always show up. Food's good. And then we would break up every like 4 or 5 different times.
And you only ate there when you broke up. It was just like, all right, we better head back there.
Yeah. Like, oh, Modern Eats, I mean, at least, well, it's already been ruined for us because we only break up here. So may as well enjoy the fries.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's like Serpico, right?
Yeah, dark.
Or I feel like I just mean like that one moment where he yells, I can shout anywhere. Meet me at Felix's? Anyway.
All right, guys, we have to get to the important stuff, though, because Comic-Con happened this week.
Wow.
So, it was a down year for Comic-Con, and it might be the first of the rest of the history of Comic-Con
being
down.
Welcome to the Club Comic-Con.
Because Disney and Marvel were not there. There was no big Star Wars thing because they have their own con. Marvel did not drop any heat like they have in years past. And so the big reveal was the Aquaman trailer.
Was it?
Sick.
I guess. That seemed to be the top trending thing over the weekend.
Aquaman rules.
Usually you would hear the news out of Comic-Con will escape the immediate nerd universe, the Twitter.
Usually at least one thing happens that's
sort
of general
like,
interest.
Oh, shit. Like, yeah. I remember last year, I think it was that Rick and Morty clip.
Right.
Of like when they were reading that trial script out, you know. And so that I felt like that was a huge thing. And then there were some trailers. But this year, yeah, I think I was like, I guess there was a Breaking Bad reunion panel. That was, but that's not like a forward looking thing. Like, it's like, hey, remember these motherfuckers?
Yeah.
For 10 years.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. Aquaman, not a fan.
Yeah, the trailer had some cool moments, but the stuff that takes place underwater just doesn't look like it takes place underwater.
Can I see
it looks like they're just kind of walking around on a green screen stage.
That's fucking bullshit.
But
who is it? Jason Momoa is Aquaman,
Jason Momoa,
right?
Which, I mean, I can't get enough of that guy.
I mean, who
Show
can?
Me.
Right.
Miles is showing you the trailer right now.
Man, that water looks
All
fucking
right, this water's
whack.
Bullshit.
Yeah,
it's like, just looks like they're in a dark field.
Yeah,
right?
It just looks like they're in a field and it's cloudy.
Some like
out.
Particles are around them, like rather than the I guess bubbles.
This is what every Marvel movie looks like. It's like all blue.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Every movie looks like this. You can't tell that it's fire or water. I guess. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it is expensive to make shit look really. I mean, I feel like in 2018, like we should be able to believably make people look like they're actually underwater.
Right.
I mean, like, there were Portishead videos in, like, the 90s that
like,
were doing it believably, so.
Don't make the Aquaman. Well, I mean, those guys were underwater.
There was that whole crowd of people who were like, whoa!
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, this is underwater?
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. I mean, there's just a lot of money, and sometimes it doesn't go to the right place.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah. And hopefully, I mean, this
is
the director.
People are going to watch this movie anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are some good looking action sequences or like brief flashes of action sequences that look
like
they could be cool.
Yeah, if you watch it and you don't think about the fact that it's supposed to be underwater,
yeah.
It's like, oh, this looks tight.
Right,
yeah,
right,
this looks
right.
like a good action movie.
And
cool.
It's by the guy who directed some of the best Fast and Furious movies. So
nice.
I think there's a chance for it still. But
oh, yeah, it'll do fine.
Yeah.
I mean, no one's, I think.
Do you guys think they're going to be okay?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think someone's going to be like, damn, did you see that trailer? I mean, they took an L on the water, you know, fucking motion graphics, so I'm going to have to. Whatever.
But you know it's bad for DC when it's their Comic-Con. They're the ones who are, like, releasing shit, and they still get overshadowed by Marvel news,
right.
Which is that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 fired the director, James Gunn, after there was
Where do I send my resume?
What's that?
Where do I send my resume?
To director.
Exactly. Because there were some old tweets of his that came to light. And this was all part of the ongoing culture wars.
Culture wars.
Do we have a soundbite for culture wars?
Yeah, we just kind of do that.
Did you not just hear the perfect voice
It's done live.
But yeah, so it was Mike Cernovich and Jack
Posobiec.
Posobiec.
Whatever you call him, yeah. Weird Jack Posobiec.
Yeah, it was like
Mac,
a campaign by them
and,
to dig up shit on the director,
James Gunn,
because, you know, he is anti-Trump online, and they've been looking for their person that they could get taken out the way that they think liberals took out Roseanne.
Liberals, right. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I mean, because on one side, this guy just made, like, really just shitty,
just bad
awful
fucking
jokes.
This guy's a hack. Like, he should get fired for being a fucking hack online.
Yeah.
I think that should be a fireable offense for anyone.
Yeah. I'm a hack.
Oh, no.
No, but I think, like, when you look at the way people were reacting, like, Ted Cruz was like, if this is true, like, he needs to be prosecuted.
Right.
And you're like, bro, he's talking about, like, shit that is not even of
this
world.
This is, like, third grade humor or whatever. I mean, I guess third graders don't make that many jokes about pedophiles, but, yeah, these are just bad jokes.
Yeah.
Trying to be edgy, trying to use shock humor.
Very immature male humor.
Yeah. It's very like, oh, what's the edgiest thing I can think of? pedophilia. Yeah. I'm going to make that joke over and over over a period of what, years? You know,
right?
So it's really hacky. But if you believe in Pizzagate, you're like, damn, this is all coming together.
Yeah. Right. I mean, but that just shows how desperate they are to come up with evidence in the whole Pizzagate that the media is run by a cabal of pedophiles theory that they've been working on.
Oh, I thought it was that the media is run by a cabal of pizzas.
A cabal of pizzas.
Of Jewish pizzas. So,
right. One of his tweets was, I'm doing a big Hollywood film adaptation of The Giving Tree with a happy ending. The tree grows back and gives the kid a blowjob.
Oh!
There was one where he tweeted that the water pressure at his hotel felt like a three-year-old peeing on his head. Just like throwing
in shitty...
This
is a bad open mic set, man.
That's exactly what it is. But the idea that Ted Cruz was like, if this stuff is true...
this water pressure truly is that bad...
We need to talk to the hotel.
Very confusing.
Can't get a lather going like that.
But a writer...
Everyone should be fired for posting badly. If you post bad... Fucking lose your job, man. Yeah, stop posting.
Just don't step into the arena if you don't have the heat.
Yeah, it's fine. No, not everybody has to post. You're James Gunn. You direct movies.
Put it in drafts.
Put it in drafts.
This was written at a time when he was directing movies for Troma, and you know his career hadn't really taken off.
But
and...
like Troma's better than that.
Right. It's still way, way better.
You're trying
than
to
that.
Be edgy and do shock humor. Troma's better than that. Like, come on.
But in retrospect, it's weird that his career path ever led to Disney and directing such a huge movie.
I thought Disney was supposed to be like a big fucking, do they not vet tweets? That seems like an important part of stuff now. Like if I was a big company like Disney and I hired somebody, I would be like, just delete your whole Twitter.
Right. And they basically supposedly knew about these tweets in the same way that they knew about Roseanne's background of tweeting crazy shit. And they were just like, from here on out, just shut the fuck up, please. And Roseanne did not do that. You know, Gunn did do that. But because there was this public outrage, then... they caved and fired him. And our writer, J.M. McNabb, pointed out that before we start jumping in and, you know, starting a campaign to get James Gunn rehired, we should look at other directors who were fired by Disney for worse reasons. Like there is a director named Brenda Chapman who wrote the Pixar movie Brave and was hired to direct it. It was a very personal story to her. Everybody who worked on it with her were like, she... had an amazing vision. She was lovely to work with, but because Pixar was such a boys' club, they let her go and basically just said that her vision didn't match with the company's, which was that she was making a movie from a strongly female perspective. And, you know, they replaced her with Mark Andrews, just two male names just thrown together. So
Sam Michaels?
Yeah, Sam Michaels and Mark Andrews to team direct. But yeah, so I don't know. It seems a little weird to get too worked up about the James Gunn thing. I'm sure he's learned a valuable lesson.
The other thing is, too, like, they're still cutting checks to Johnny Depp. You know what I mean? Like, there are people who, like, comparatively on paper, one guy who's just a fucking dumb idiot making shit jokes versus, like, a serial abuser, you know. But they still have him
there.
And also, like, these two, Cernovich and Posobiec, their backgrounds are fucking awful, too. Pretty sure Cernovich, like, I mean, aside from their racism and crazy, you know, shit that they post online, I feel like one of them, like, legitimately was charged with rape a few years ago.
Right.
Or, like, 15 years ago.
Super believable.
But, yeah. Over at the QAnon subreddit, they are writing...
Meanwhile, at the QAnon subreddit...
Meanwhile, they are responding to this. Look into CPS. They are helping the elite steal children. No one wants to talk about it. That congresswoman who was exposing CPS was murder-suicided. Your world is run by devil-worshipping pedophiles. People are finally starting to wake up. Stop supporting occultist pedos like Disney.
Okay.
So that's their read on the situation. Yep. But... you know, like you were saying, this does tie into an overarching conspiracy theory that the media is run by pedophile pizzas.
Yeah. Pizzas love kids. That's why they got that deal with the turtles.
Right.
Exactly.
This is for the kid access. We were going to talk about Lasseter, too, yeah?
Yes. Yeah. So Lasseter is the head of Pixar who, like, created Toy Story and Frozen and I think the Cars franchise and... it came out, was very huggy at work and
apparently
liked to make female employees hug him and would say inappropriate things. And, you know, Disney did an investigation. He was on leave for a while, and they quietly were like, he's going to stay on as a consultant through the end of the year. He's not allowed back in the office, and he's fired at the end of the year. But he was heading up Pixar at the time when Chapman was fired from Brave. So you get the sense of what Pixar's culture was like.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of animation a lot all the time, and Pixar sort of positions itself like this is new animation. We're Pixar. We're for the whole. We make movies that are for the whole family,
right,
including the adults. Like we make
all cultures.
Yeah. Like we're diverse. We tell a lot of stories. We have values that are different from, you know, what you would consider old Disney movie animated values that are very like fairy tale or whatever.
Like, you know, racist depictions of people.
Yeah, like racist princesses and stuff. But it's, you know, it's still just animation. It's still the same old fucking dudes. And I mean, what's amazing about the Lasseter thing is like, he's a big fucking deal.
Right.
He's a really big, that dude's rich.
That might be the most powerful person who's been stopped by Me Too
exactly.
up to this point.
And I mean, not to like speculate, but there's no fucking way they fired him for hugging.
Right.
This guy makes literally billions of dollars for Pixar. Frozen is like, I mean, you have kids, Jack.
Right.
You know what Frozen is.
I am aware.
Fucking end.
Yes.
You know, there is no
end. You don't
no
even have kids. You look
sight.
Like you just came back. You're like, you know that shit. It's like that dragon. It's like that dragon bridge.
I went to a Frozen birthday party where they had the same three songs from Frozen on repeat.
Yeah.
At a very loud volumes the whole time. It was wild.
It was Let It Go.
Yeah.
And then
I don't know
Do You Want to Build a Snowman?
Are. Yes, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then probably, what's another song from
I don't know.
Sorry.
I shorted out and woke
right.
up and I was covered in blood.
Well,
I
babysit a lot, man. I work with kids a lot. And when did Frozen come out? 10 fucking years ago or
right,
some
right.
shit?
Really?
Like 3. No,
Frozen,
3 years ago.
Frozen
no,
did
no,
not come out.
Close
Frozen
to 10.
2 came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
Frozen came out 10 years ago?
When did Frozen come out?
No, it didn't come out 10 years ago.
I bet it was 2000.
I bet
12.
It was, yeah.
No, 2013.
Time flies when you're fucking frozen, man.
Damn, it was 2013?
It was 2013.
How the fuck did I just hear about it, like...
You just heard about Frozen?
Yeah, just now.
Wow, you must
wow.
not hang out with
Holy
a lot of
shit,
kids,
man.
Dude.
No, I mean, I can't stand that shit.
2014 in LA, I was hearing kids in my parking lot sing
right.
Let It Go in a little helium chorus.
Right.
And
right.
they didn't know most of the words.
It's so funny because the history of Frozen, well, so first of all, Brave was supposed to be their groundbreaking movie where it was the first Pixar movie with a female protagonist,
mm-hmm.
and this is
all
what
right, you guys are
going to
shit yourselves.
Scenes.
Hold on. We got ourselves a white female protagonist.
Right.
Stop the presses.
Oh, God. What
but
do we do?
Frozen was seen as like this big deal because it had a female relationship at
yes.
the center of it.
It centered a non-romantic female relationship rather than the romantic relationship between the main character and a love interest.
But initially, it was a Little Mermaid Ursula situation, and the only reason that they ended up making it friends is because Let It Go, they like heard it and they were like, oh, that's too good of a song.
Yeah.
That
well,
we need to make them
yeah.
friends.
It's
we
based
need to make
on,
her a protagonist.
It's based on the Ice Queen,
right.
which is a Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale. And if you guys
She's
know anything about Hans Christian Andersen, it always ends with a girl dying.
Yeah.
It ends
yeah.
with an evil woman getting killed
right.
in a really painful way.
Right.
So like, yeah, Elsa was supposed to be the Ice Queen,
right.
is supposed to be the villain of the story
right.
in the fairy tale, the Ice Queen. And I mean, thank God they changed it, because that's a much better movie.
But they did it accidentally just because
Robert
wrote
Lopez
a great
wrote
song.
A really good song.
Yeah, so they... But basically, anytime they're adding diversity or, you know, strong female characters,
it's
to
a fucking
a movie,
mistake.
It's a mistake that they're like doing kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
And yeah, and plus you have Pixar being part of the whole tech world, so that
yeah.
doesn't help. Also,
are All there right. not a lot of women in tech? Jack.
Jack. I don't know. We're gonna take a quick break to look that up, and we'll be right back. And we're back. There are some people at gyms, right, who don't necessarily know how to act
right.
in public.
They're there for the show. They want to be the show.
Right. And I think we have a new high in this category of people who just come looking to make a statement. Because so Planet Fitness, their motto is this is a judgment-free zone, and the idea is, you know, we're not sitting here like you don't have a bunch of personal trainers being like, oh, you're not throwing plates around, bro?
Whoa.
Like, what the fuck is
hey,
that?
Hey, man, your fucking delts are not really developed right. for your size.
Don't they have, like, a meathead alarm in their
yeah,
place,
yeah.
too? Like, if you're one of those guys walking around with, like, a two-gallon jug of water, they'll, like, hit the meathead alarm.
No.
Like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
They're serious about that shit?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, so they's like, this is just for regular.
Like, if you're wearing like a weightlifting belt, they'll be like, hey, yeah.
Hey, what are you concerned about? Your back?
Yeah.
Your safety? Get the fuck
They're
out.
Like, hey, we're super accepting of all types of people who want to work out except you.
Yeah.
So right. you need to go.
You need to go to the fucking scream gym.
Get over to Gold's.
There are plenty of those gyms, though, for
oh,
people
yeah.
oh,
who
yeah,
are very, very serious about shit. But this dude took that to mean judgment free zone to mean that he could just show up and work out nude.
Yeah. Well, it's in New Hampshire, you know, so I kind of, I,
right,
in a
man,
way, I
lay
felt
off New Hampshire.
Hey, hey, my man, it's fucking, the motto is live free or die.
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
What I mean? So, in a way, I understand that this guy, his name is Eric Stagno or Stagno, 34 years old, he pulled up. Apparently, this is what they say. The story from witnesses is that the guy walked in, stripped down right there in front, left the clothes and belongings at the front desk. Walked back and forth across the gym a couple times and then settled in over at the yoga mats. And then when officers arrived, they said they found him nude in a, quote, yoga-type position. So I don't know if they don't know yoga and he could have been doing tree pose or something, warrior two.
Chaturanga, my man.
Yeah. Some dive bomber push-ups. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Downward dog, upward dog, cobra.
But they said the only comment he made was that he thought it was a judgment-free zone.
So is he doing a bit? Or
that's what I'm saying. Is he trying to prove a point?
Who knows?
He kind of looks like he...
He looks like
a bit. He looks like he might, I don't know, like he would be one of those dudes who you're like, are you a hipster or are you
homeless
in,
it's a fine line.
In Los Angeles? Yeah.
From a police perspective, that's kind of how you first have to come into it, right? Like we need to figure out, is this a mental health issue
yeah.
or just a dude fucking around?
Yeah.
And then that's kind of like your path for how the
and that's
rest.
What you know if you can smack them around. Because yeah. if it's a bit, you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?
Right.
If you're mentally ill, you're like, okay, sir, let's
you kind of have
help.
To start there, right? Like, very like, hey, buddy.
Yeah, at the very least. Like, yeah. What's up, dude?
Hey, man.
Namaste, my man.
Right.
Are you good?
The fact that he was doing yoga is the least surprising detail
oh,
of
yeah.
this story. This
yeah.
dude who has like a long beard and accidental dreadlock looking like it's forming on top of his head definitely like definitely looks like he was there to do yoga. Also because like you're not going to be working around free weights with your shit just hanging out.
That's
no,
what I was
yeah,
I was going to
no,
ask
no.
you guys for some truth.
Right.
You're going to you have to be naked in a gym.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You have to perform one type of workout and or exercise.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do naked in a gym? And you have to choose one.
I would
elliptical,
get on, I would,
treadmill,
no.
basketball.
I would get on a squat sled.
You're going, you're leaning
on my
in.
Back.
You're leaning
on
in.
My back, legs
showing off those thicky
fucking,
thicks,
yeah, just
you know?
Pushing out. And they're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Uh-huh.
I think that would feel, because look, if you're going to do it, I might as well pull a power move and make everyone as uncomfortable as I am.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not an exhibitionist, so I would be like, you know what, fuck it. I'm just going to make this a moment.
I would just avoid anything that has that like sticky pleather on it,
mm-hmm.
because then it's touching parts of your body that aren't meant to are touching things that people have like sweat on and you
oh,
can
yeah.
never really get the sweat out.
Right.
So I'd probably just do like, you know, jumping jacks or something else to show off the goods. You know,
just
calisthenics.
Really flopping about.
Yeah,
huh?
man, you're
some
in
jumping
mirror.
Jacks.
You're yeah. in my mirror, man.
What about you, Daniel? What would you do?
Maybe just the elliptical.
Yeah.
Oh, just low impact and not too, yeah, you don't
yeah,
want
yeah,
to be
yeah.
too bouncy.
It might be interesting to see what your body looks like working out nude, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get a whole different perspective on how you're engaging in this exercise.
I think we have a whole new video series we can start.
I guarantee there's probably
what this
there's
got
to be nude
what this
workouts.
Shit looks like underneath your clothes.
Right? Doesn't right. there have to be nude workouts on the internet?
Oh, for sure.
Oh,
has to
yeah.
be.
Oh, yeah.
Of all people of all different walks
oh,
of life.
God, can you imagine?
There's probably a nude yoga retreat in L.A. every weekend somewhere, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Right now. I'm sure it's like an Airbnb experience that you can do. Like, nude yoga in the Hollywood Hills.
I might do it.
With Dreadhead.
If I felt better about myself, I would do it.
Hey, this is judgment-free zone, man.
Okay. Well, here we go. All right. Sound of clothes taking off.
If you had to record one podcast nude, what would it be? No.
The Daily with Michael Barbaro.
Yeah.
because those they would. Uh-huh. I'd be like, what you mean?
That's just my conversational. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.